So, children, you may go. We had the children in here for our worship time this Easter morning, but all children, fifth grade and below, are welcome to go back. There's some leaders that will take you back from the back door upstairs. We'll have some special time there, and so we encourage children to go at this time. So a year ago Easter, I had the privilege of standing up here alone, and Josh and a few others had an opportunity to sing here alone to an empty room, and many of you were able to watch online. We are so grateful that we can be together celebrating Easter together. And we can say, He is risen. All right, from Luke chapter 24, verse 34. I'm so glad that you are here today, and those watching online, we're glad that you have joined us also as we celebrate hope. Hope is an interesting word. Hope is a word that causes us, even in difficult times, to continue on. Hope is a way that we can look ahead with expectation. Hope also has a meaning of a feeling of trust. For many people today, that hope may seem to be fleeting. Unrest in our world, fears in our lives, uncertainties of the future may cause us to feel hopeless. But through Jesus Christ, we can have hope. No matter what comes in our lives and no matter what occurs in our world, we can have hope. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, may we recognize the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we celebrate an empty tomb, may we recognize the victory that we have over death. And your sacrifice that gives us victory over sin, Lord, may we rejoice in you. May you be glorified as we look at your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Easter story is a story of hope. It's a story of hope because we can have hope in a blood-stained cross and an empty tomb. I'd like us this morning to look at some of the characters that were part of the first Easter story. Characters that felt they had hope lost, but found they had hope renewed. And today, as we celebrate the empty tomb, let's look at a couple of those stories. Stories of hope in improbable places. The story of the thief that Josh just sang about. Hope lost, but hope restored. We find the story of this thief in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 39. And it says this, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" This thief began his Friday, that first what we would call Easter weekend, with hope lost. Friday didn't begin well for that thief. It was a day of despair. And I'm sure that day of despair had followed other days of despair. The thief was facing known death, the most horrific and humiliating death that could be given by the Roman government. He had run out of hope. There were no more courts that he could plead his case or plead for mercy. There was no one left to fight on his behalf. There was no more time to change his ways in order to change the course of his life. All that was left that he could see was a horrific and humiliating death. But then he met Jesus, the only one that could provide hope in what he saw as a hopeless situation. And I want you to think with me for a minute here, and we're speculating a little bit, but the thief knew his doom. But there's a good chance that he was associated with Barabbas. And if you remember Barabbas' story, Barabbas was the one that was supposed to hang on the cross, and Jesus took his place. Pilate gave the people a choice. Do you want me to release Barabbas or Jesus? And they shouted that Barabbas be released and Jesus crucified. And so the shock possibly that took place in that thief as he recognized that there was someone different who was going to be crucified with him. That person and God, Jesus. Now, we know very little about the thief. We know very little about his family. We know very little about the exact reasons why he was there, but he was probably involved in insurrection, and he was a very nasty man. To be condemned to be crucified was the most horrific of condemnations, but not given to a whole lot of people. And as he was there, he evidently knew at least some about Jesus, because he recognized who Jesus claimed to be, and he gave his life to the one he called his Lord. But he had hope lost. He had run out of hope. But he also had hope restored. He found grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Now, other passages share that he was joining earlier in ones that were taking and calling out Jesus, ridiculing Jesus. But then something changed. There were two thieves that were crucified with Christ. They made two choices opposite of each other. The other thief continued to ridicule him, as well as people that were down watching. Many of the religious leaders and others were ridiculing Christ. But this thief had a change of heart. And his change of heart restored his hope and changed his destiny. He came to a point where he realized that his only hope was Jesus Christ, and he called out to Christ, asking for Christ's forgiveness. And what was Christ's response in verse 43? It says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Now the end of his life did not change, but his eternity changed drastically. Because of Jesus Christ, this thief went from hopeless to heaven. But I also want us to think about others around him. And again, we don't know his story. But others around him that may have been his friends or family and watched the turns in life that he took and the rotten decisions that he made. And they felt hopeless too. Can you imagine if his mother was like Jesus' mother watching the crucifixion? And again, we don't know. But if she was, what must have been taking place in her mind, her feelings. But yet, Jesus brought hope. And while his life seemed hopeless, through Jesus Christ, he acquired heaven. And what about the disciples? Unfortunately, the story didn't end on Friday. The story, as the old preacher said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The disciples had followed Jesus for 3 years, and they had plans for Jesus. They had wondered, you know, he's going to become this king, and the only question was, what was the coronation going to entail, and who would sit on his right hand and his left? Now, they had had arguments about that, if you're familiar with the stories of the disciples and their desiring to have a prominent position in Jesus' kingdom. But so here were these disciples, and they thought everything was going great, and just a few days earlier they had the practice coronation as they paraded into Jerusalem, and everything seemed to be going well. And then there were some unique events as they went to had the Last Supper there in the upper room. And then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were to pray. Of course, they spent their time taking a few cat naps while Jesus prayed. But then Judas, with a group of soldiers, came, and Jesus was arrested and taken away. And the whole script was changed. Mark 14, verse 50 says their response. It says, "And they all forsook him and fled." Jesus was arrested, taken to trial, and the disciples ran in fear. I'm sure that they must have had many thoughts and questions that were going through their minds. They had to wonder if maybe they'd even wasted the last 3 years of their lives. They, I'm sure, wondered what would be next. Would the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers come for them, just like those soldiers came to arrest Jesus? How and where could they hide? What would they do? Where would they go? All their hopes seemed to be dashed. In Luke chapter 24, we see the story of a couple of Jesus' followers. Actually, the day of the resurrection, Sunday afternoon, who were on the road to Emmaus, a town. And they were there, and a guy met them. A guy they did not recognize. He actually wasn't just a guy, he was God, Jesus Christ, God's Son. And they're walking down the road and they're talking, and Jesus is sharing with them, and they're sharing with Jesus, and their attitude and their hopelessness is seen in Luke chapter 24 and verse 21. And they said to Jesus, again, not realizing it was him, they said, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." They had been followers of Jesus, but yet now their hope was lost. "We had hoped, but he's dead. We had hoped, but it's been 3 days. And every minute, they were more removed from the hope that had been taken from them. Their hope had been lost. But for the disciples and other followers of Jesus, we see that their hope was restored, just like the hope of the thief. In John chapter 20, verses 20 or 19 through 22, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." So what was happening? It was actually Resurrection Day, but they hadn't seen Jesus yet. And they were gathered together, doors were locked in fear that the Jews were going to come after them. Now, they had heard stories, but for many of them, the questions were there: did somebody come and take his body? And if so, who? And where did they take it? So here they are assembled together. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I will also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We have to ask ourselves the questions: why had the disciples gathered back together? They were in various states of thinking as to what had happened and what was going to happen. But why were they gathered together that night? Well, I think they were gathered together for protection. Better to be in a group than alone. Also, I'm sure probably to comfort one another in their misery, because you know the saying, misery loves company. And they were a miserable company. But what happened? As they were sitting there in that locked room, not necessarily believing the story that the ladies had shared and how Peter and John had seen the empty tomb, Jesus just appears in the middle of them. And his love and his grace are evident in his response. He restored their hope. What did he do? Did he give them a lecture? "All right, guys. At least three times that we have recorded, I told you that I was going to die and rise again." Did he give them a lecture about how could they flee in fear rather than stand with their friend, their Lord and Savior? No, what did he do? Twice he said, "Peace be with you," or "peace to you." He showed them his hands and his side. And he promised them there was still more to do, and he promised them that the Holy Spirit would be coming to be their guide. He showed love and grace, and he reminded them that they had hope. Hope that allowed them to look forward to the next day, and hope that allowed them to look forward to eternity. Hope restored. You see, those disciples moved from hopeless to hope-filled. But for us, just like the disciples, just like the thief, God promises us that same hope. Hope that is in the cross, and hope that is in the empty tomb. If you're here this morning, or you're watching online, and there's never been a time in your life when you have prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to be your Savior, you are just like that thief on that Friday pre-Jesus. Hopeless. But Jesus. And just like he died for that thief, just like he gave his life for his disciples, he has given his life for each one of us. A sacrifice that only he could make because he was the perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice that is our only hope. Because if you're here today thinking, "I'm trying to be good enough," or I'm trying to do enough or give enough, we can never meet God's standard. Romans 3:23 tells us that we are all sinners, and we fall short of the standard required, the payment that is necessary to cover the cost of our sin. But Jesus. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus Christ came to this earth. Sure, he did miracles, he taught, but he came to die for me, to die for you, to give us that hope that has been lost because of our sin, but can be restored because of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and if you have never accepted that gift, that sacrifice, you can do that today. Romans 6 goes on to tell us that the wages of sin is death, that's eternal separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10 tells us that we confess our sins and ask his forgiveness, that he promises to forgive us and to be our Lord and Savior. So if you've never done that, I want to encourage you in faith to do that today. And what I'd like to do is just share a prayer, and if you would silently say it along with me, in faith, God promises to forgive your sins. So would you pray with me? Dear God, I know I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Be my Savior and Lord. I cannot forgive myself. I cannot save myself. Lord, I must rely on your forgiveness, your salvation. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose again. And I trust you. And I trust your forgiveness. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, you say, well, that seems pretty simple. The faith and God's power and strength is what makes that a difference. That thief couldn't do any works. The only thing he could do was trust. But if you did that today, I would love to share with you and talk with you more about what it means to live a journey, a life with God. And so if you prayed that prayer today, please come see me afterwards, or if you're watching online, please contact us. We would love to share some things to help you understand what it means to know God more, and the decision that you made today, and the chance to have Jesus Christ be your Lord and Savior and have your life go from hopeless to hope-filled. And for each and every one of us, the cross gives us victory over sin. The empty tomb reminds us of the victory over death. You see, the stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so we could see in and recognize we serve a risen Savior.